All right, let's do this.
When I pretend everything is what I want it to be, I look exactly like what you had always wanted to see. When I pretend I can forget about the criminal I am, stealing second after second just cause I know I can. But I can't pretend this is the way it'll stay. I'm just I can't pretend I'm who you want me to be, so I'm
pimp, nigga, gone, brush your shoulders off. Ladies is pimps too, gone, brush your shoulders off. Niggas is crazy, baby, don't forget that boy told you get that dirt off your shoulders. I probably owe it to y'all. Probably be
good evening and welcome to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. Week 4 of our show, recapping week 6 action of the NFL. Catastrophe, chaos, horribleness. Last week, I went 1-5. It was horrible. It was a very, very no good, very bad week. I felt the damage. I felt the pain myself. A lot of other gamblers that I know felt the damage and felt the pain themselves. 1-5 last week was a very, very tough pill to swallow. I ended up with only just at 2 units remaining after having laid out 10. It was a pretty tough one. That being said, record is still 19-10 overall. When you fall back, you got to get back up and wipe that dirt off your shoulders. And that's exactly what we plan to do this week. And I've got an amazing guest on board with the podcast this week to help bring us through everything. He's a very longtime friend of mine. This gentleman and I have been friends for over 20 years. We were just reflecting earlier. We've been through births, deaths, weddings, funerals. We're actually flying to West Texas tomorrow to attend a wedding together this weekend. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So we're just kind of catching up this evening and bringing him to you on the show. He is what I would classify as an amateur gambler, but he's a really fun and funny guy. So please do welcome to Taking the Over, Todd. Todd, you here with us?
Hey, what you know? Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, Todd, this it's good. Awesome. We're so glad that you're here. I'm excited to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, man, just living the high life in Colorado here at John.
Living the high life in Colorado. That's right. Colorado, yeah. Home to legal marijuana. Don't you have legal mushrooms where you're at too?
You know, I'll have to check on that. I think it's not as penalized as it used to be.
You're not sure if they're legal or not. You guys just do them.
I don't have my finger on the pulse of that one.
Oh, that's right. Todd and I used to live a lot crazier and a lot faster and more loose than we do now. We're mostly law-abiding citizens today, but we might get into some stories later on in the show that
fortunately
the statute of limitations have run out on. And yes. These were things that happened in days of our youth, and so we cannot be held criminally liable for them now. And it is a podcast. The worst case scenario, we just edit them out, right?
Yeah, these are characters portrayed by actors.
Characters portrayed by Todd and Billy Gunn. So, Todd, you've been gambling with me a little bit this year. It's funny. I remember, I think week 1 or week 2, you bet with me and we did pretty well. And then I remember this very distinctly. The Saints played the Raiders. And Todd was like, hey, man, put 500 on the Saints. Money line. And I was like, not tonight, honey. I have a headache. You know, like I came up with some kind of excuse or something to kind of save you from yourself. I actually saved you like $500 this year.
Dude, you're my lifeguard, dude.
By not allowing you to wager, I saved you $500 already. You're already 500 ahead just by not betting with yourself.
That was one Sunday. I gained 500.
Yeah, you had a really good week, and you're like, you know, you got the craze. It happens to all gamblers, Todd. So, we consider you a novice gambler, and like, so we're gonna get to some topics here. This week, one of the things that I want to talk about when we get to our pick of the week segment is we're gonna talk about teasers. Todd, do you know what a teaser is?
You know, why don't you remind me real quick?
Okay, a teaser is where you move the line of a game, usually somewhere between 6 and 7 points. And I'm going to talk about some 7-point teasers as we get later on. And then, because it's week 7 of the NFL, and I feel like we're starting to get a good idea of who's who and what's what in the league, one of the really cool things that we're going to do in our Pick of the Week segment is we're going to do some player prop futures. Okay, so Todd, a future bet is like, I'm going to bet, that's when you bet like the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl.
Of course.
If you bet that this week, that's considered a future bet, right? Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is we're going to do player props. So we're going to do some really fun player props that are offered by FanDuel in our Pick of the Weeks, our guaranteed picks. Derek can, let's see, NFL MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Passing Yards, Rookie of the Year. We're going to do some really fun player props later. Just to recap last week, if I could, like I said, it was an ugly, ugly week. And I don't want to run away from it. There's no getting away from the fact that, I went 1-5 and 19-10 overall. But, you know, the good news is that looking over the history of the last 3 weeks betting on the show, we're still up 31%.
Well, that's not
bad. If you had bet $200, if you'd laid out and risked $200 a week, so for a total of $600 over 3 weeks, you'd have $785 now.
You can do that.
Even with the complete meltdown that was last week. So, overall, 19-10, very, very ugly, very, very 81% loss. If you laid out $200 last week, you have $38 left, and that sounds. That sounds like some bad luck, and it was a lot of bad luck. We saw coaches going for two. We saw normally shorthanded quarterbacks throwing interceptions on first down. We saw teams that that you couldn't see coming to lose from a mile away losing, and just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. The parlays missed. The over and unders were crazy last week. The unders actually ran at a clip of there was more unders than overs, and in fact
for the first time this year
unders were 8 times and the overs were 4 times, and that's not counting the Monday night games. But so 4 overs and 8 unders, the Vegas has caught up to the NFL, and they were tired of getting their butts kicked on the over. They heard about taking the over, and they knew that all the people that listened to this show worldwide were taking the over. And Vegas and Roger Goodell colluded to make things bad for us. So
you know, they're just trying to make some money, man.
They're just trying to make some money. But you know, the good news is we're still out in front. We've still had a 31% return. We're still rolling. If you'd taken and you know, used $20 per unit, betting 10 units a week like me, you would have a 19-10 record, and you're still up 31%. So you know, things aren't all that bad, and we're just going to continue to. Continue to press on. Look, man, when things get rough, you just got to get back to the fundamentals, blocking and tackling. You know, remember
it,
the basics.
X's and O's, buddy. X's and O's.
X's and O's. That's right. Dry erase boards.
Mm-hmm.
Dry erase boards, coaches with bad breath, all of it. All of these things. All of these things that we need.
Coaches with the midriffs in the belly. That was great.
Coaches with midriff showing belly.
Well, you know, high school football movies.
I don't know that I've seen that before. High school. Yeah, you went to a different high school than I did. So Todd, you and I have been through some stuff over the years. Back when we were younger, we had one night in particular that stands out.
Which one?
And I feel like this would be a fun story to share. You want to? Yeah, can we do it?
No, go for it. Yeah, I don't. Here we go. I'll just follow your lead. Let's do it.
I'll tell you this, dude. One of the guys that was there that night calls me about every 6 months.
And, Pee-wee's Playhouse, Jambi.
Who's at your door?
If it's your plumber,
dude, I definitely want to hear him talk.
It is.
If it's your plumber, I want to hear what he has to say.
Okay, how about a little one?
If it's Levi the plumber.
You need a screwdriver?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll open the garage. I'll be right there. I'll get you a screwdriver.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Levi the plumber stopped by. He was the word of the day.
Levi the plumber's hanging out at Todd's house. I like the fact that he's already at your house, but he's ringing the doorbell while he's there.
You know, screwdrivers are hard to come by these days, you know.
And any, like the sign of any good plumber, he shows up without his own screwdriver.
Yeah, well, you know.
And earlier, Todd had me on the phone when he was explaining to Levi the plumber that he was going to pay him in cash. And Levi the plumber was like, "Oh, hell yeah, man! Yeah, he's like, cash. Yeah, that sounds great. Right on, dude." And then I think he told you a story.
This should work. Thanks. Go ahead.
Can Levi the plumber hear me?
No, he cannot.
Oh, good. I was just talking. Yeah,
absolutely. No, this is great. Yeah.
I was just talking a lot of shit about
your plumber. We'll follow him out there. I'll follow him out there. I'm doing it in the yard.
You're following the plumber?
Yeah.
So, Todd, we've hung out many times over the years. Like I said, we used to run around and get into some crazy shenanigans when we were earlier. One story people always ask about. There's one story. In fact, one of the people that was there the night that this story happened, he'll call me like every 6 months, and he'll be at work, or he'll have like a room full of people, and he'll be like, "Gunn, I'm telling him the story about the camp out."
Oh,
and
he
wants me to tell the camp out story. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to tell the camp out story. It's story time, new segment on Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. We're going to tell the camp out story. Statute of limitations is out on this story. So want to take you back. This was about at least 20 years ago. We would have been 20, 21 years old. And Todd and I were members of a group of young men get together to hang out and do like public service and like raise money and like dance with old ladies and you know that's
crossing
what we did.
The street, like, you know.
Yeah. You paid dues and you hung out with girls and then you like took care of the elderly and you know cleaned up roads or whatever. And we had a contractual obligation as members of this group to go camping. We had an obligation to go camping, and we had an obligation for this camping trip to be alcohol free for like at least 24 hours, right?
Oh God, I wish I knew it was obligatory.
Yeah. So we'd end up out in the woods on a camping trip with a large group of our friends. And I remember the first night, some guys that were out there with us were like, this sucks. We're leaving. We're going back to town and we're going to the bars because this is lame. And it was like the minute those guys left, we're like, well, time to break out the alcohol, right? It turns out we'd packed like a bunch of alcohol to bring with us to have fun because we had an obligation to not have fun for 24 hours. And then after that, we were allowed to have fun. Don't ask why. It makes no sense.
I don't know why.
That's just how these groups roll, right? So while we were there, during the day on one of the days, we went and found this little it was like a convenience store / restaurant / bar. And it was the only piece of civilization within like 30 minutes of the campsite. And we had like one of those.
Yeah, the lake water was like bashing up against one of the walls. It was right on the
lake. Yeah, it was right on the lake. And they had like a $6 steak and potato type of deal. And we went there and we had a lot of fun. And then we went back to our campsite and we started partying. And we started drinking. And like a very severe weather came through the area. And it knocked out, I would say that it knocked out electricity, but we were camping. For some reason, I can't remember why, but the weather came through, and the weather was really bad, and the weather inspired us to go, now it's like 10 o'clock at night, and it inspired us to go back to that little convenience store / restaurant / bar on the lake, which was the only piece of civilization nearby. Yeah. So we did. And so we, a smaller group of the larger group of young men that were hanging out at this campground, went to this little bar. And I remember walking in, and it was almost like one of those old beer commercials, like when somebody walks in and the jukebox needle goes, you know, and everybody turns and looks at us. And
you boys ain't from around here, are you?
You boys ain't from around here. And we had made a pact on the way there in the car. We were like, hey, man, if you find anybody that's got any of that green spinach, let us know.
Yeah,
right?
Because, yeah.
Yeah, because we want to talk to them. Yeah. And so it was packed.
Yeah.
It was packed with a lot of rednecks. This is a very, very rural area. Very rural area. And that's going to be important later in the story. Oh, so man. I immediately noticed like two old guys sitting at the bar wearing like David Duke for Senate or something hats. And to give you some context, David Duke had not run for office in many years. They were just David Duke enthusiasts. And if you don't know who David Duke is, Google David Duke. We've got listeners that listen all over the world to the show. But David Duke, for those of you that don't know, was a former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, of the KKK, and he ran for office in Louisiana, and he won. And then he ran for office a couple more times, and he lost. David Duke is one of those rare people that people pay him not to run for office. That would be a very interesting position to be at in life. Don't you want to make it to where people will pay you not to run for office?
Kill my guidance counselor. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'd like to do it not at the expense of being synonymous with horrible racism.
I don't
want to
be outcast.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to be that person. Yeah.
You don't want to be known as a racist. I just want people to pay me not to run for office and exactly. not be a racist. So, so I start talking to these two old guys wearing David Duke hats, and dude, these guys were, you know, they were like ridiculous. They were saying, I remember they gave me pamphlets, right? And if you're at a bar in the middle of nowhere with your David Duke hat, the next step in the logical progression is that you would have pamphlets, right?
I mean, obviously. I mean, there's nowhere
else pamphlets,
to go.
And I still to this day remember the acronym that was of the organization that was on the planets. The acronym was No Fear. No Fear. And that stood for National Organization for European American Rights. And I remember like European American Rights. So I remember like looking at the pamphlet and kind of reading the first infold of it, and it was like, you know, it's giving some statistics, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this makes sense. All right, and then you keep reading, you're like, oh wow, the coming race war. Yikes, these guys are like hardcore racists.
Oh, okay.
These guys are like hardcore racists. I just thought they were wearing David Duke hats because they were fans of politics. Turns out they're the kind of guys that bring propaganda with them to the bar.
Can you donate $3 for more kerosene?
Yeah, will you donate $3 for no fear?
Yeah, for no fear.
Sir, could you spare a dollar on this? Hey, would you dedicate a dollar of your purchase to no fear of your next beer?
Every 10 cents goes to the kerosene on the crosses.
Every 10 cents, make sure a strong white baby is pure. All right. So at that point, after they hand me their racist propaganda, I'm like, all right, I've had enough of talking to you guys. I don't know why I was surprised, but I was. And I looked around, and a subset of my friends were gone and had disappeared from the bar. So, you ever been in a group of friends and you know the ones that are like 420 friendly and you know the ones that aren't? It was like all of my 420 friends had disappeared. And it could only mean one thing. And that's that they were smoking pot without me. And I was very, very upset. 20-year-old Billy Gunn was very upset about this, right? And 20-year-old Billy Gunn is drunk. And 20-year-old Billy Gunn wants to go smoke some pot. So I grab another friend. We'll call him Sawed Off for short. We won't use any real names in this story. And so Sawed Off and I decide to go start searching for our friends. Now, this community was weird. I swear to God, it was like something out of the Twilight Zone. It was like a trailer park and apartments like surrounding this little bar/gas station convenience store/restaurant by day. It's like the whole
boat ramp. Yeah.
Yeah. Slash boat ramp. Use a bait shop. Yes. Whorehouse. Like everything you could, all in one. This whole community revolved around this one little commercial establishment. And so Sawed-Off and I literally start going door to door. It's probably 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and we're just knocking on random doors, trying to find our friends. Which, this is so dangerous. This is so stupid. So irresponsible.
Dumbest thing ever.
Finally, we get to this apartment, and we can tell that the lights are on. We can hear a bunch of voices, perhaps some familiar voices. We can smell a little bit of smoke coming out. And I knock on the door. The door swings open. On one side of the door is the biggest, scariest skinhead with a spider web tattoo on his skull, holding a battle axe. And on the other side of the doorway, standing perpendicular to him, is Todd holding a battle axe.
And facing the spider guy.
Yeah. Like y'all both greeted me. You're on one side of the door when the door opens with a battle axe, and the skinhead is on the other side of the door with a battle axe. And I've just pushed my way through you guys. Like, you guys left without me. You're smoking weed without me.
And Todd, yeah. Oh my God, dude, that was great.
Tell me a little bit about your side of the story up to
so I'm on the opposite side of this whole soiree. My ears grow keen to someone that is into the green. We start talking at the bar a little bit. They're super friendly, you know. I look like them, I guess.
So did they have literature like my people did?
You know, they didn't show me any of the pamphlets or the flyers, but they did mention like just good boys, like Southern boys.
Oh, yeah, you boys look good.
Yeah, and like I said, like my grandfather has a house like just a mile from that place. On the
okay.
Okay. So I'm from the neighborhood, and
you're
I
familiar.
Think that's how I think that's how I got the inn, because this is all, you know, I don't know, a fake place called, let's call it Lake Bistineau or something.
Lake Bistineau, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So. These guys start talking and they invite me over like, hey, you know what we got over here? Come hang out with us. Well, right away, the two guys closest to me, I tapped on the shoulder, said, come with me. They didn't ask any questions. Like you said, therefore 20 friendly. Unfortunately, that shoulder tap did not get passed down to you at the end of the bar, receiving your information, your leaflets of just life-filled information.
Right.
So, all right, we mosey on up this boat ramp of an entrance to these apartments. They're just crappy. I go in, and I'm leading my friends, and they walk in, and it's just two guys. There's this heavy-set, blonde, curly-haired lady with really red lipstick, and they're just talking like, okay, who are y'all? What's going on? It's like, okay, we're just here. It's like, oh, they're our friends. They're from here. Come on, we're going to smoke. And there's another skinhead in the back just rolling joints.
Okay.
I don't think he said a word the whole night.
He just rolled joints.
Yeah, he was just rolling joints. And so I have with me two friends, Daryl and my other brother, Daryl, you know?
Right. Daryl.
Yes. So we walk in, we're trying to, you know, make conversation, see what's going on. It's a really empty room. There's one TV and it's a box TV, like a big square cube TV. They're watching TV. One guy's rolling joints. And this heavyset blonde girl is just calling the shots. Well, in there, there's like six of us at this point, six or seven of us. And they're real nice. They talk to us, say, like, you know, have a drink, have a beer. Come on, we're going to roll a joint, hang out. The coolest song ever. And then they started asking about our past. And we're like, okay, like whatever. And we started walking around. I get a drink from the kitchen and I walk back there. I'm in the kitchen by myself and I hear yelled from the front. Hey, you can have anything you want. Just don't drink my chocolate milk.
Don't drink my milk. You can have a beer. Don't drink my milk.
Don't drink my chocolate milk. I was like, all right. That's not what I was going for. But yeah, sure. I grab a Bud Light and walk out. That's okay. Noted. I come back out and I start looking around and I hear some noise coming from a back room. and I just kind of look over. And then one guy sees me looking, and he distracts me. Hey, like, come on, check this out. Just show me how to roll a joint, how his friend rolls joints. We come back and we're talking. We're looking around. It's getting a little quiet around this apartment, and they start asking about our beliefs. And I just happened to notice that there's.
No, and, like, okay. Is it fair to say that, like, everybody's stoned?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not feel the details of the fun part.
Well, yeah, but no. I mean, I guess it's implied that everybody was getting stoned.
Yeah, we came in. They had vodka shots of the worst vodka ever.
Oh,
and then,
yeah,
we were smoking, passing joints this whole time and just talking and just, you know, like, okay. And I noticed that there's a sword above. It's not even a real fireplace. It's like a faux fireplace. Like, it's like
it's an apartment,
got a
right?
mantle. It felt like a
fake ass fireplace.
It felt like a trailer park the whole time. Yeah, fake ass fireplace. Not a real fire. Not even fake flames. Just And all of a sudden, you know, we're hearing noise, and all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. And like they were expecting a break in. Every skinhead and that blonde-haired woman got real serious. All of a sudden, the guy closes the door, runs, and for some reason, there's this fucking axe on the wall. And he grabs it and starts aiming that axe at the door. And I was like, what the fuck? And I look right to my friends that are sitting on the couch, and just so fucking happens that there's a fucking axe leaning against the wall next to me. I was like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to be the only one. I grab the axe, and I'm facing the skinhead at the door that's facing the door that they're about to open. And I was like, what the fuck? I look over at my brother, Daryl, and he goes, what the fuck? I was like, I don't know. And I'm sitting here just like gripping this axe, just like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, boom.
I come in. I open the door, smoke billows out, Todd and a skinhead with battle axes. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, dude, you guys were smoking weed with that. We had a pact. We made a pact. We were going to look out for each other. I have no idea what's happening here. I feel very left out. And I just kind of like pushed my way into the room, and I pushed my way into the rotation with the joints. And I think what I failed to realize in retrospect is that you guys were about 30 minutes ahead of me on getting stoned with the skinhead white supremacist KKK guys.
Yeah,
yeah. You guys were 30 minutes ahead of getting stoned with Klansmen, and paranoia and everything else. That is not a very fun experience.
No.
And so you guys were just about at the point where you were ready to leave, and then small Daryl and I came in the door, and I was like just ready to get started. So then I start partaking with the skinheads, Klansmen, KKK guys, and you guys started kind of like
we were looking
one
for a
one.
Way out, dude. We were
you guys were one by
seat.
One finding reasons to leave, right, right. Until it's just me and our sawed off friend, and the skinheads getting stoned. And you know how you get paranoid, especially at that age. You know, like you get really paranoid when you get high.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help when they're talking about like the coming race war. Like you're getting stoned with guys that have like AK-47s and swords and axes. Because I remember there was like a back room, and like every 5 or 10 minutes or so, like another skinhead would like come out of this room.
Oh
like,
yeah,
with, like
the
a
guy
rifle.
We never saw. Like who
yeah,
are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I mean like these guys are armed. Like Sons of Anarchy up in there, you know, and they're like ready for they're ready for the impending race. And it was the most uncomfortable
silent demonstration.
It was the most uncomfortable occasion ever. And after I'd been there for a while, it's just me and our short friend. And I was like, I got to get out of here. And he's like, stay, have a beer. Don't drink my milk. And I was like, no. And, like, I should be going now.
Oh, the guys in the back room.
I was trying to figure out a reason to leave.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so it's you and Daryl.
Small sawed-off Daryl.
Yeah, sawed-off Daryl, because we snaked out individually, the lead team. The bastards that sold you out did not live up to their pact.
and then left me with the...
murderous
with the,
racist
with the fucking the crazy racist ready for the impending racial war. And I just want to make a point of how non-prophetic these guys were, because this was like 1998 or something, you know?
Yeah, 99, and I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's been like 22 years and we still haven't had this race war. I just want to say how disappointed I am.
Yeah.
In their race war predictions. They're about as good at predicting race. They're about as good at predicting race wars as I am at picking football games.
This week, yeah. I mean, imagine that.
But that's their whole job. Their whole job was to be racist.
Yeah, imagine the old
schoolers. They didn't have any other job.
That have been preaching this shit forever and it never happened. Are they putting Social Security into this race war? Because they're not getting anything out of it.
Well, that's what I'm starting to think. Are they first generation race war prognosticators? Like,
are they angry? People?
Yeah, like in the 50s, people weren't predicting a race war, were they?
No.
I know, like, people started doing that like in the 70s.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, like Manson wanted to start one.
Yeah, correct.
Right.
Oh my God.
So, I
that's
am
the company you're in.
Yes. I've decided to leave. I'm rebuffing the offers for more beer. I don't want his beer. I can't have his chocolate milk. He will not allow me to have the chocolate milk. Paranoia has set in. I am terrified.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
Right before I left, when you came in and made that big distraction, because he called me out and said I couldn't have it, I snuck back into the kitchen and I drank a sip of his fucking
milk. You got some of that milk?
Yes.
What if that
it was Nestle Quick.
What if that milk was laced with racism?
Oh man, I got a little hint of it.
What if there was some kind of racism serum in that milk?
Oh, it had that racist tang, you know.
That's why you've probably been slightly more racist for the last 20 years.
You know what? Damn it! You know, I was poisoned. It's not in my nature.
It was. So I got out of there.
Yeah, you did.
And and made it back to the commercial establishment that was the hub of this.
The place of electricity.
And our friends, all of our fraternity brothers, were like the ones that had stayed behind and hadn't gone on the trip to Clan World with us, to marijuana Clan World, were like basically pirating all their women. They were like, we're getting everybody's women. They like, they were looting the village of its women. And
we would rape your women.
It was
not really, but yeah.
Well, I mean, by today's standards, yes. But they had stayed back, and you could tell, like, all the other racists that were still in the bar were like, I've had it with these city boys.
Yeah, come in here with your Abercrombie.
Right, and we had like that stoned intuition, and we were like, let's get the fuck out of this.
We gotta go, man. Please. We gotta go now.
We gotta get out of here. And we gotta go now. Everybody here is a fucking skinhead. It was Todd, have you ever seen that movie From Dusk Till Dawn?
Oh, dude, I just watched that.
Where they get stuck like in that Mexican town, and they go to the bar, and it turns out that everybody in the bar is secretly a vampire.
Yeah, Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek, right. This was like From Dusk Till Dawn, but instead of vampires, they were all skinheads and fucking Nazis. It's like, we gotta go. Everybody here's
and
a racist.
And the clock was fucking ticking, man. The clock was ticking.
Yeah, dude.
Their looks were getting more frequent and frequent. Like, it was not getting ugly. Not getting good in there.
Early game, Thursday night game.
Man.
Good story, Todd. New York Jets. You think any listeners made it through that story with us?
I'd like to meet the people that did, I'll tell you that.
You too?
Yeah.
New York Jets, Thursday night. It's a Thursday night shitty football game. New York Giants are taking on the Philadelphia Eagles at home. Eagles are 4-point favorites.
Yeah.
Over under on that game is 43.5. Todd, do you have any special feelings?
Well, I think they're meeting a different Eagles team than they did earlier. I think they got their act together more. I really do feel that the Eagles are going to come out pretty good on these guys.
Yeah, they didn't lose. They only lost by 2 to Baltimore this week. They covered versus Baltimore. I don't have a strong read on this game. It can be argued that I don't have a strong read on any game. But I'm staying away from this one. Over-under is 43.5. The Giants are, you know.
It's definitely not my pick of the week for sure, yeah.
Thursday night football sucks. The Eagles suck. The Giants suck. We're going to be at a rehearsal dinner. There's going to be a presidential debate. This game is fighting against the presidential fucking WrestleMania of presidential debates. It's going to be on at the
losing.
Same time.
And it's losing.
Yeah, no one's going to watch this game.
That's
going to be a fun debate that I'm not going to watch either. My mind's already
up. I'm just going to watch Saturday Night Live's version of it or something.
Oh, that won't be funny. Cleveland versus Cincinnati is the first of the 12 o'clock noon games on Sunday. Cleveland is a 3-point favorite. Cleveland has King of the False Messiah quarterbacks in Baker Mayfield. Cincinnati, of course, has the man that we all love,
the one
Joe Burrow.
God.
Yes, the one Joe true Burrow. God. Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Cleveland's 3-point favorites. Over under on this game is 50.5. Todd, do you have any strong feelings about Cleveland Cincinnati?
You know, I actually think this will be a high scoring game, and I would do the over on this one as well.
That's a very good intuition.
Yeah. Thanks. I think that these people played before. We know how that outcome went, but nobody suffered. They all performed. I think they're going to get better at doing what they're doing together.
Is it fair to say that they're performers?
For a lack of thesaurus, I may have said that a few times. But yeah,
No. They're performers, and they're performing on a field together.
That's what they do.
They're in teams.
Yes.
And they're having a game.
And I think that the rivalry-based fun, you know, everybody on that team loves being on that team that they're on. And they want to beat each other. The rivalry.
You think Odell Beckham Jr. is happy to be anywhere on any team?
You know what? I don't waste my time asking myself that kind of question because there's no.
Well, you know, breaking news this week: Odell Beckham of the Cleveland Browns and an alum, former LSU Tiger, has been banned from appearing anywhere near the LSU program for 2 years. Because basically he was caught on videotape following the national championship last year handing out money to amateur athletes on tape. That's against the rules. You're not allowed to do that on tape. So you and I agree that that Cleveland Cincinnati are going to go over 50.5, correct?
Yes, I believe that is true. Correct.
You feel good taking the over?
I do, 100%.
Name of the show is Todd.
Taking the over with Billy Gunn.
And that's what we're going to do on Cleveland, Cincinnati. Moving on to Dallas and Washington football team. Washington football team had an announcement today. They made an announcement about what their name is going to be for next year. And they have decided that their name is still going to be Washington football team next year.
Is it okay
this
that
franchise
I like that?
I mean, it's growing on me. I think it's fitting and telling that Washington sucks so bad that they can't even figure out a fucking name for their football team, giving a year's time. And Vegas agrees. Vegas has Dallas and Washington, Washington being the home team, as a pick 'em, meaning that there is no points involved in this game. There is no point spread. Just pick who you think's going to win. And the over-under on this game is 46.5. Any special feelings about Andy Dalton versus Kyle Allen, Dallas versus Washington football team, Todd?
Dallas by 1 point.
I think Dallas is going to win by one.
1 point. I think they won it the most. I think they just have that slight edge, but I'm telling you, I agree with Vegas. I couldn't tell you. If you put a gun to my head, this would not be – this. I would leave this bet alone. I have no clue.
Well, that's good. I feel the same way. I'm leaving this bet alone. Next game, early game, the Detroit Lions on the road to take on the Atlanta failed Cons. Atlanta got their first win of the season last week under new head coach Raheem Morris.
Atlanta is 2.5 point favorites over Detroit. The over-under on this game is a staggering 56.5. Todd, what are your thoughts on Detroit-Atlanta?
Tell you what, this could go either way. This does have a 56.5 potential, but I don't think it has... Man, you never know who's going to show up. I think this is a close one. You know what? You know what? The ceiling on this is high. These guys could both go off. Their defenses are not going to stop one another. I'll go the over. I can go the over on this one.
You're taking the over on this one. Very good. I'm staying away. But that's a safe bet because Atlanta can't stop anybody, and Detroit's got Matt Stafford playing quarterback. Saints, our beloved New Orleans Saints, are going to be at home.
One and only.
Taking on, they're going to have 3,000 fans in the stands. That does nothing for anybody. That's just enough to piss you off. You know? Teddy Bridgewater will return to a huge, raucous 3,000 fan reception. And New Orleans is favored by 7.5 points. This is a 51-point over-under. Todd, what do you think about New Orleans and Carolina?
I think – now, Carolina's defense is trying to step up in a little bit ways, but I really do think that everybody at home, I think they can do that. I think they're going to go off. I think Drew Brees, I think in company, are going to have 34 points themselves.
It sounds like Michael Thomas – we're recording this Wednesday night. It sounds like Michael Thomas will be available, so that Saints offense is going to be like – it's like all five Infinity Stones in Thanos' gauntlet have assembled for the Saints offense. I never feel comfortable taking my beloved team when they're 7.5 point favorites because I don't want to be pissed off if they win by six. Mm-hmm. I do think that the Saints have a very good shot at clearing this over with the help of Carolina. I think the Saints are going to score at least 30, and I think the Carolina is going to score 20. I'm putting my units elsewhere this week, but that's, of course, going to be an early game and a lot of fun to watch. Next game on the agenda, the Buffalo Bills versus New York Jets. Now, Buffalo is a 13-point road favorite to the Jets. The over-under on this game is 46. Little tidbit about the Jets. They have yet to win against the spread all year. So regardless of what the point spread has been against them, they have not been able to finish within that point spread in any of their games. I think that trend is going to continue. I normally would stay away from the from a 13-point spread, but I feel very comfortable putting one unit on Buffalo minus 13 to continue the trend of the Jets not clearing that spread. Over under is 46. Don't really feel too safe with that over under, but I do feel very, very confident about Buffalo winning by at least 13, and so I'm going to make that an official pick, put a unit on Buffalo. Todd, what you got for Buffalo New York Jets?
Dude, I cannot agree more. I think Buffalo is going to show off. I think they're kind of clicking. I think John Brown's back feeling a little bit better, but I think they will go the distance. I don't know I don't think the Jets are going to show up at all. I really feel like
the Jets aren't going to show up for the rest.
Down.
Yeah, the Jets aren't going to show up for the rest of the year. They traded who should have been their best player. I think that they're holding on to their coach so that they can guarantee the first pick of the season. The Jets are done. You've got coordinators sniping against the coach via the press. It's an absolute shit show in New York. Another early game, Green Bay coming off a pretty bad loss to Tampa in the Toms. Green Bay versus Houston. Houston at home. Green Bay is 3.5 point favorites. This game has an over under of 56. Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers versus Deshaun Watson and Houston. Todd, what's your thoughts on that game?
Dude, I'm scared that Rodgers might throw a goose egg. He might not show up for this game away. I don't know. If
it's gonna be a tough one. It's a game that I'm laying off. 56 is another high over under. Not too safe with that. Green Bay 3.5, Houston 3.5. I did mention earlier in the show that there's gonna be some games that I'm gonna use on a teaser.
and that's where we're going to be able to move the line 7 points.
Yeah.
But I don't, this isn't, I'm not going to incorporate this game into that teaser bet, so we're going to stay away here. Last of the early games, two undefeated AFC teams in an undefeated AFC matchup. The undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers are traveling to Tennessee to take on the undefeated Tennessee Titans. And Pittsburgh is a 1.5 point favorite on the road. And the over-under on this game is 52.5. Todd, what are your thoughts on Pittsburgh-Tennessee?
Man, I think defense wins championships. The Steelers' defense is lights out, man. I think all you do is control Derrick Henry, and I think the Titans will shut down. I got the Steelers on this one.
You think they're going to control Derrick Henry, huh?
I mean, I know he's a man-child. He's a beast. I know
he's,
that.
He's
but
a
like,
beast, dude.
But those Steelers, independently, they don't have to double-team. They don't have to. Mm-hmm. They're good, man. I think that line matchup will play off in the end of the third quarter. You might see a Tennessee with a little bit of a lead, but at the end of that third quarter, I think it's going to change. That's
excellent. Now, this game right here, I'm going to include this. Yeah. This game right here, I'm going to include this game in one of my teaser bets later on. And what I'm going to end up doing is I am going to end up moving this line 7 points in the favor of Tennessee. And actually the venue that I'm using to move this game 7 points has Tennessee as a 2.5 point dog. So I'm going to tease this game 7 points to where Tennessee is going to be getting 9.5 points, where Tennessee just needs to not lose. Should they lose, they need to not lose by 10 as one of the games in this teaser. And that's what we're going to include.
That's great.
It's pretty cool how teasers work, right?
Wow.
But yeah. the trick is we're going to have to do it across multiple games. So all of our games that we move 7 points, every single one of them is going to have to clear. If there was a tie, we don't lose as long as the other games go off well in teasers. So if you've got a teaser ticket, it is one of your tips of the week. If you have a teaser ticket in your hand and one of those games ends up being a tie, don't throw it in the trash because your ticket is still good provided everybody else wins on that ticket. Before we get to the late games, Todd, I want to point out we have been very, very fortunate to have a lot of really cool listeners all across the world listening to this show. We now have had in the thousands of downloads just in a very short period of time, and so that's something that we're very proud about. I got into the analytics and started looking at exactly where people are listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to read off the countries where people are fans of taking the Over the Billy Gun, and it's going to shock you. Now, obviously,
dude, I want to hear it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously we've got fans in the United States, believe it or not. That's actually our main audience. All right. We've got more people listening in the US than anywhere else.
USA.
Yeah. We're number one, dude.
We're number one, baby.
USA number one. That's what those guys back at Lake Bissano are saying right now.
That's what they're chanting it.
Chanting USA, come on, taking the over. USA number one. Our next largest audience is in the UK, which is not too shocking. In fact, some of the members of our Dome Patrol United crew, we've got three friends that are from the UK that participate in our programs and our broadcasts. And they had a really cool English Premier League soccer podcast that dropped last week that you guys need to listen to. Next would be Canada. So we've got more listeners in the UK than in Canada.
Oh, way to go, guys.
Which we owe to our friends. But it's also ironic that we call our UK friends Canadians because someone very early on referred to the UK guys as Canadians. And so that's become the inside joke. After Canada, this is what's cool here. Okay. We've got listeners in Australia. Australia is our fourth largest market. You know how bad I want to move to Australia?
Tell us about it.
Do you think I could, if you're an Australian listener of taking the Over Billy Gun, here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow me on Twitter at Taking the Over, and I want you to reach out to me and communicate with me on Twitter. And if you are an Australian listener of this show, I want to have you on as a special guest. Let that be our challenge for weeks moving forward, that I'm going to make friends with an Australian, and then maybe I'll
maybe that person can get me to Australia somehow permanently and for good. Next largest audience after Australia, Poland. We're huge in Poland.
We're big in Poland.
Yeah, we're big in Poland, dude. Germany is the next market. Portugal, the country.
The woman.
Ireland, Japan, Norway, New Zealand, Belgium, South Korea. Todd, did you know that we had 14 downloads? In the last 2 weeks, we've had 14 downloads in South Korea.
Yeah, but the real thing is, how many North Koreans?
If you listen to this show in North Korea, they'll fucking kill you. If you listen to this show in North Korea, you die.
Please don't risk your life for us. Hang up right now.
Well, I thought it was funny about the analytics that there that North Korea doesn't show up, and neither does China. China seems like a big market, right? You know, like,
dude,
you know, the NBA is like
market.
The NBA has sold their soul to be huge in China. Yeah. I'd like to do the same thing with taking you over. I would like to tell the Chinese that I think you guys are great. And if you're listening out there, don't follow me on Twitter if you're from China, because I don't think they have.
Please don't.
Because I don't want to get. This goes double if you're in South Korea or North Korea. If you're in South Korea, follow me. If you're in North Korea, don't follow me on Twitter. I don't want you to get in trouble. Sweden. Sweden comes after South Korea, followed by Italy, Slovakia, India, Costa Rica, Finland, France, Saudi Arabia.
We've had
8 downloads in the last 2 weeks coming out of Saudi Arabia, followed by Spain, Russia. I like the fact that we got Russians listening to the show. Like, Russians, they're like, all right, take a break from fucking getting Americans pissed off at each other on social media. Yeah. We're going to listen to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn.
Put that grizzly bear down and listen to us.
Put that vodka down and come on over and listen to Taking the Over. Argentina, followed by Romania, and then one listener in Brazil. And
only one Brazilian.
He doesn't even have a friend. If you're in Brazil and you're listening to this, tell a friend.
Yeah.
I'd like to see two Brazilians listening. Let's double our listenership in Brazil.
We can do it, guys. Together, we can do it.
And then one person in Denmark.
I want to meet this person in Denmark.
Are they Danish?
Yeah, they're the Danes. Yeah, they're the Danes.
The great Danes.
The person that's listening to the show in Denmark, you have a place in Denver, Colorado. Come stay with me. We'll go skiing. You got a place, man.
Well, we got a few hundred people from Australia listening, and I'm like, dude, you guys, let's talk. Let's talk about things. They have a 99% literacy rate in Australia. Did you know that?
That probably beats ours, right?
Yes, that beats our literacy rate. In fact, I want to say that the guys at the bar in Lake Vistano with the David Duke hats and the No Fear pamphlets, they might have said something about Australia. They were like, we got to get to Australia. Late games. 3 o'clock Central. Todd, when it's 3 o'clock, what time is it in Colorado?
It's 2 o'clock here. Mile High is 2 o'clock.
1 hour earlier than us.
Correct.
That's cool. So I don't feel bad about calling you late because it's an hour early. Okay. So the late games. First late game is going to be Seattle versus Arizona Cardinals, who beat the shit out of the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Seattle's 3-point favorites. Over-under on this game is 56. And it feels like every time Seattle and Arizona play, it feels like anytime Seattle plays anybody, it's a close game.
Yeah, and I don't see this being go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's going to be a close game, and you don't see it being what?
I don't see it being a low-scoring game.
Well, Vegas doesn't either. They've got an over-under of 56 on this game, buddy.
Yeah.
56 over-under for Seattle and Arizona. I think Seattle wins. I think it's probably going to be – it's going to come down to probably a field goal. So I'm staying away from this one as well. Late game, 3 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock if you're in Colorado. San Francisco on the road taking on New England. New England is a 2.5-point favorite in this game.
Over-under is 45.5.
Yeah, what's up with that? I mean,
I don't know.
That's a crazy game. What I like to do with this game, Todd, is this game is also going to be on one of my teasers as well. And so what we're going to do is we're going to tease San Francisco from 2.5 points. So we're going to tease San Francisco to plus 9.5.
Nice.
So San Francisco just needs to not lose by 10 against Cam and the New England Patriots, who are coming off of a loss to your hometown team now, the Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
that was something, huh? Those Denver Broncos won. Is everybody in Denver as friendly as Levi the plumber?
You know, I can't speak to exact friendliness. They're friendly in different ways. Yeah. But yeah, they're pretty open. They're not as good as our boys in Louisiana, but
But it's like if everyone in Louisiana had marijuana, we'd be way friendlier than Denver.
And decriminalize mushrooms.
Yeah.
Friendly joint.
Let's put Cajuns on mushrooms.
Oh, please don't.
That'd be fun. Kansas City is taking on your hometown Denver Broncos in Denver at Mile High. KC is 9.5 point favorites to Denver. Over under on this game is 48. This would be another game that you could tease. You could tease that down. You could tease that from 9.5 to minus 2.5 for KC. But this is another one of those interdivision rivalries, and you never know what's going to happen. KC has shown that sometimes that offense doesn't really click like you want it to. Personally, I'm going to stay away from this game. But Todd, I'm sure that you're just inundated with all things Broncos. What's your read on this game?
Well, Phillip Lindsay's back in the fold, and he's making points now. He's moving the ball, and Drew Lock is getting more vertical with it. He's back to that. I do think I know that they made like 6 field goals. You know,
they won by field goals. All they scored was field goals last week. They're going to have to do more than kick field goals to beat Patrick Mahomes.
They're going to at least score. I think they'll score a touchdown on this one, but they're not going to be able to keep up with them. And that over under and that lead. With a tease, I think it's a great idea. Without it, this could go. The coverage could be blown easily.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Jacksonville and the Los Angeles Chargers. The other late game, Jacksonville on the road to take on the LA Chargers in that big, beautiful stadium that no one can go in. 7.5 point favorites are the Chargers over Jacksonville. 49 is the over under. Todd, do you have any special thoughts about the Chargers versus Jacksonville?
Yeah, completely the over. Chargers are going to run over Jacksonville. Their offense
49 over under is a safe bet.
Safe bet.
Excellent. Our Sunday night game is going to be Tampa Bay on the road taking on Las Vegas in that Death Star. Tampa Bay 3-point favorites. Over under on this game is 53.5. Las Vegas, they feel like they're kind of like a landmine. Dude. Like you don't want to accidentally step on Las Vegas and get blown up because they can just come out and beat good teams. They beat KC. As you know very well, they beat the Saints in that game that you wanted me to put a $500 money on. The Saints were like minus 350. Like you were going to risk 500 to win.
I was.
Not much. And again, I told you not tonight, honey. And that game, that bet didn't get placed. And so again, I saved you $500. You can thank me this
we're
weekend.
We're the two best friends that anyone, yeah.
We are best friends, are we? 53.5 over under. Fucking Tampa Bay, dude. This is one of those deals where the NFL and the officials, I said this before on the show, they're in cahoots with Tampa Bay.
Something's
going on there. But you know what? We're going to exhibit a little discipline because we got our asses handed to us betting last week. So we're going to stay away from this one as well.
Thank you.
Monday Night Football. The Chicago Bears on the road taking on the Los Angeles Rams in that same beautiful stadium that the Los Angeles Chargers play in. The Bears are 5-1. They have been a very, very surprising team this year. The spread on that, the Rams 5.5 point favorites. The over-under on this game is 45.5. Here's what I want you to do with that Monday night game. I want you to tease Chicago 7 points. So now the Bears are going to be getting 12.5 points. Game Todd, over. Do you think it's feasible that the Bears are going to lose by 13 points or more to the Los Angeles Rams?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Famous last words. That's why they call it gambling, right?
So Todd, let it be written. So let it be done.
Guaranteed that we're not going to hit this teaser this week, but we're gonna play it anyway, and I'm going to get back to recap. So that takes us through the games. We're about to get to my pick of the week segment, and we're going to identify, like I mentioned earlier, some player futures bets. And so what we're going to do this week is we're going to take some of the money that we would normally gamble with, and we're going to set it aside for some player prop futures, right?
Okay.
And the first player prop future that I want to share with you, NFL most valuable player. Okay. If you had to say right now, who do you think is going to win NFL MVP on the season?
Right now, like, that's a loaded question.
That's a very difficult question, right? Another thing that you've got to take into account with these future bets, especially when it's on individual players, is injuries, right?
Yeah.
You don't get your money back if you place a bet right now and that player ends up getting injured. So that's part of it here. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go out. I'm going to take a little bit of a risky bet, but I definitely see a scenario where this player could win MVP. And if this player were to win MVP, he would be the first running back to win MVP of the NFL since 2012. Todd, can you guess who won NFL MVP in 2012? You've got 5 seconds. Don't Google it.
Christian McCaffrey. I don't know.
No, Christian McCaffrey was nine years old.
Didn't he play until 2015?
He was nine years old in 2012. No, that's a good guess, Todd. But maybe his dad, Ed McCaffrey.
Yeah, Mr. McCaffrey.
Not going to edit that out. That's staying in.
Senior.
His father, Ed McCaffrey, could have perhaps won NFL MVP in 2012. That would have been a better answer. Adrian Peterson.
AP.
AP. AP all day. TD. AP. AP won NFL MVP in 2012 as a member of the Minnesota Vikings when he rushed for over 2,000 yards. He has since beat his child with a switch. You remember that?
I do now. Yeah, I do. I forgot it. I do now.
You guys don't do that in Colorado. You don't say, "Hey boy, go out there and find your own switch." And that, like, that's what people, like, when they're like, "Well, I used to get beat with a switch," and the gimmick was you had to go pick in a switch being a stick
off a tree,
and you had to go find your own.
And your dad was going
to. I mean, this never happened to me. I know it happened to other people.
I mean, yeah, not me either.
Derrick Henry is a plus 4,400 to win NFL MVP. So what that means in layman's terms, Todd, is if you place $20 on Derrick Henry to win NFL MVP right now, and he does, you're going to win $880 on that $20 bet.
That's really nice.
That's a cool one. You want to play that one?
I like
with
that.
Me?
I do.
You want to play that? I'm going to stop by. My flight gets back into Mississippi Gulfport Biloxi Airport Saturday night, and I'm going to swing by the sports book that offers FanDuel bets, and I'm going to place these prop bets. So you're down to play these with me?
I'm in. Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to put $20 on Derrick Henry to win $881. $10 would win you $440. Next bet that I want to place, defensive player of the year. This one to me, I think this guy is a lock to win this. And I think that the payoff here is just outstanding. I would say that he's the favorite to win this award. And FanDuel would agree with me. Ty, can you guess who is plus 400 to win defensive player of the year?
You have Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald, exactly.
Yeah.
If you place $20 on Aaron Donald to win Defensive Player of the Year, it's going to pay you $80. So we'll play that one too.
I'm in.
All right. Most passing yards. Most passing yards player future prop bet. You know who's leading the league in passing yards going into this team having a bye week this year?
Can I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
Is it,
It's A-Bear
not from Chargers?
It's not Christian McCaffrey.
Damn, 2012. Christian McCaffrey, 2012. Is it A-Bear from the Chargers?
No, but that's a fucking horrible guess. It's Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was leading the league in passing yards going into his bye week. And if you bet on Russell Wilson to lead the league in passing yards this year, it's going to pay you plus 400. So $20 bet's going to pay us $80 there. You still with me? You feel good about that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. Yeah, 100%.
All right. Now I got a category you're going to like.
Let's find it.
Rookie of the year for offense. Rookie of the year for offense. Who do you think is going to win rookie of the year for offense? Who did you just shout at?
I'm blanking.
Dude, you just said his name 15 seconds ago.
I know. And I'm
and it's not Christian McCaffrey.
It's not Christian. Oh, okay. Then it's got to be A-Bear.
It's A-Bear. There is an A-Bear, and he's a sportscaster on WWL 870 AM that he gets drunk and reads statistics off a sheet of paper every week. And he's fucking horrible at it. That's Bobby A-Bear.
Yeah.
You're talking about Justin Herbert, who's from the Pacific
Herbert.
West, and they pronounce that Herbert up there.
Yeah, well, Louisiana screwed me up with that because I know a lot
there's
of
an, because there's an R in there, and he's not a fucking Cajun. and you shouted him out for most passing yards, which was a noble wager. No, rookie of the year for offense. You have any guesses on who this could be?
No, man.
Who you think it would be?
Is it a wide receiver?
No. That's a wide receiver. Good I'm guess. Just, you know what? Yeah, Justin Jefferson's having a great season as a rookie from LSU. I'll make it a little bit warmer. He played for LSU last year.
Oh, Kansas City's running back.
Yes.
Hilaire?
Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is plus 1,000 to win rookie of the year. How cool is that?
I'm happy for that, dude.
He's second in the league in rushing right now. And he plays on a team that's probably going to go all the way to the Super Bowl and win it again.
Yeah, for sure. They have a chance. For sure.
Well, I mean, they have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl and lose to the Saints. That's what they have a chance to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have a chance. Yeah, the Saints are going
to
win it. But
they have a chance to win the AFC. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is plus 1,000 on Rookie of the Year. So it's all there. $10 will pay you 100. We're gonna bet 20 to win 200. You feel comfortable playing those with me?
Yeah.
NFL MVP Derrick Henry on the big risk, plus 4,400. Defensive Player of the Year Aaron Donald plus 400. Most passing yards Russell Wilson plus 400. Rookie of the Year offense, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire of the Kansas City Chiefs plus 1,000. Those are player future prop bets via FanDuel. I'm shocked at the Aaron Donald. I mean, the Aaron Donald feels like guaranteed money, provided that he doesn't get hurt. That we might step up and put a little more money on that one. Maybe we'll take that 500 you were going to bet on the Saints money line against.
You're going to spice that bet up a little bit later.
Yeah. Next, we're going to get into these teasers. Okay. So I've got two more teasers that I want you to play. And just to recap the early games, we're going to put one unit on the over for Cleveland-Cincinnati. We're going to put one unit on Buffalo minus 13. And then we're going to put a teaser together. The first teaser is only going to be a two-team teaser. Only two of these teams have to win in this two-team teaser. One of them could tie, and it would still be a one-game teaser. So we're going to do San Francisco plus 9.5. We're going to tease that line to 9.5 in favor of San Francisco. And we're going to do Chicago plus 12.5. And Todd, if you were to bet, that bet is actually paying 7/10. So if you were to bet $100, you'd win 70.
$70, yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
That's our first teaser of the week. Our next teaser of the week, we're going to do that same bet. We're going to do San Francisco plus 9.5. We're going to do Chicago plus 12.5. And we're going to do Denver I'm sorry, not Denver. We're going to do Tennessee plus 9.5. Tennessee plus 9.5, Chicago plus 12.5, San Francisco plus 9.5. And that bet is going to play plus 120. $100 wins you $120. You feel comfortable with that one too, Todd?
Yeah, man. I can do this.
How could it lose?
There's no way it could lose. Yeah, I can't think of a reason.
Just like the Rams couldn't lose to San Francisco. There's no way that any of this happens. So we're gonna move that line 7 points, and we're gonna play those teasers, and we're gonna have a good time doing so. We're gonna couple that with our player props. Those player props, of course, they won't hatch till after the season is over, and the awards start getting handed out, and we have the official winners of the year. Todd, that brings us to the end of our show.
Oh, it was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. You know, we can really, do you have any special topics that are near and dear to your heart that you want to make sure that we talk about this week?
You know what? I like what you got going on, man.
Yeah.
I trust you.
You trust me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be
wonderful.
Fun.
Well, look, this has been another exciting week of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol Podcast Network. We would like to thank you all for tuning in. Please, especially if you're from Australia, follow me on Twitter at Taking the Over. If you're from South Korea, it'd be really cool if you followed me. I don't even know if you have Twitter. If you're from North Korea, be safe and don't
give us a signal. Yeah.
Shoot a shoot a flare up and give us a signal. If you're from South Korea, blink your eyes. If you're from North Korea, raise your hand.
Yeah, and Danes, get at me. Get at me, Danes.
Danes, invite a friend.
Invite a friend.
Brazilians. How are we only getting one Brazilian? Like, I thought Brazilians did everything communal.
Everything in twos, if not threes. Yeah.
If not, yeah, like at least. Like, I've seen the carnival images. They don't do anything by themselves but listen to Taking the Over. Got one fucking Brazilian listening to this show. One Dane. 8 people in Saudi Arabia. Like I said, the South Koreans, hundreds of Australians. Literally hundreds of Australians. We've been very, very fortunate to have a good listener base so far. We're excited to be back from the bye week. We're excited to have our friends. Todd, I'm going to be flying out to West Texas at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. Ooh, yeah, and we're gonna be hanging out in Midland, Texas for the next couple days. That's exciting. Earlier this night, we were talking, and Todd said that he was going to wait for me like at the airport Chili's because his flight is getting in an hour before mine. And, sir, I just would like to say that that is awful presumptuous to think that that airport has a Chili's.
Oh, is that a little optimistic?
Yeah, it's like Midland, Odessa sounds like a one Chili's town to me.
It's a one Chili town. Yeah. I'm trying to get out of this one Chili town.
It's like a country song. I'm living in a one Chili's town. You know, or they probably don't even fucking have its Chili's yet, dude. They're probably pre-Chili's. They're on the Chili's relocation committee's radar.
Oh, so they're talking to the board.
They're talking to the board. They're talking to the franchise board to perhaps get a Chili's in the future.
Yeah.
They're gonna have. The Chili's
back ribs.
The Chili's reps are coming to town next week. They're gonna have a cleanup. Everybody's gonna have to mow their lawns. There's gonna be the marching band. They're gonna have a parade.
All 12 of the high school students have to come help.
Yeah. There's gonna be like three large flag team girls. Why is it that all flag team girls are large, and why is it that all flag team boys nowhere to find the dudes? why don't straight men want to swing flags around, Todd?
I swing flags around a lot. Okay. I think it's the perfect amount. I don't think it's too much. I don't think it's too little.
Like, you live in Denver. They've gotten to you up there.
Yeah, yeah.
They fed you the marijuana.
I'm one of them now.
Yeah, you've been ingesting marijuana, not coupled with hanging out with white supremacists. So,
yeah, don't forget about all the other.
Your brain's going bad.
That's fantastic, man.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, right, that's going to do it for us. Week 7 NFL action taking the over. We're 19-10 on the season. We were 1-5 last week. Thank you for tuning in. Todd, say goodnight to all the people.
Hey, goodnight, all the people.
And we will see you on the other side.
Later.